That was a hoot. No, wait. It's more like back of the throat. That was a hoot.
That's a good heifer.
Do you think so?
I do.
I think it was actually terrible.
I know Filber. I'm nauseous. It's a very racist interpretation of a Jewish person.
Is that what he's supposed to be?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
And
Did you ever see Family Guy?
Family Guy?
Yeah, Family Guy has a very racist caricature of a Jewish person. It's Mort.
The pharmacist?
Yes, the pharmacist. And Mort and Filber are kind of very similar.
Really?
Yeah.
All these cartoon shows have incredibly racist portrayals of Jewish people, though.
They do. Yeah. I don't know why, you know.
Yeah, it's a thing.
The poor, and you know. And all that feeds into the Trump administration's views of the Jewish person.
Into the Kuglamo.
That's right. We're going political already. And we're talking about Rocco's Modern Life. Who knew?
Who knew that we would get political that fast?
For
Rocco's Modern Life. So Rocco's Modern Life was a TV show on Nickelodeon for our older audiences. If you don't know, that just came out with a Netflix special called Static Cling. That a lot of these millennials are going kind of crazy for, and we all have a lot of different opinions about it. So we're going to give you our opinions today. So having said that, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality. That was a boot. So it's we're still getting back into the swing of things, you know. This is our second episode back. It's September.
Yep.
It's you know, it is September.
Is it? Is that when this is gonna come out?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very much September.
It is.
And we're excited.
The weather
to be
is
back.
Lovely.
It is. Yeah, it is.
September
actually.
Weather.
I dig it. This is my favorite time of year.
Mm. I like October. What? It's just a little chillier.
It's a little chillier?
It's just a little chillier. That's like sweater weather.
I can, you know, I'm dyslexic, so I can't say that without, like, messing it up.
Like, sweather weather.
Yeah, I always say sweather weather. As always, we are joined by the lovely Eddie Z.
Hey, everyone.
Yay.
What's up, Eddie?
How you doing, guys?
I love how you've been practicing your Casey Kasem voice
us. Oh, yeah. I grew up with Casey Kasem. I love that guy.
Oh, my gosh, I hear that.
You know, he's still active.
Is he?
Yeah, I'm on Sirius XM.
Wow.
Pop stars, at least when I used to have it. That was like maybe 5-6 years ago. But still, that's the fact that he's still alive and kicking.
Yeah, know? That is. Yeah. I hope he's kicking.
That's true. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys.
This is breaking news.
All right. Just to give you guys a quick update, Casey Kasem had passed away.
Casey Kasem is dead. Wait, how long ago?
5 years ago.
Oh, that's around the time I canceled my Sirius subscription.
So he's not kicking no more.
No, he's not. Apologies, guys. Oh. And to anyone I may have offended with my comments.
Yeah, he actually died on Father's Day, June 15th, 2014.
That's so depressing.
And just a little tidbit, there's like a mysterious kind of like air around his death.
He was murdered.
So, I mean, 48 Hours actually did a report on the mysterious death of Casey Kasem.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I didn't even know
something,
this. All right.
Yeah, so I kind of feel bad that we totally did not know that.
Well, I didn't know. Totally. You guys, wait, hang on. At least I knew he was alive for a while. Like, you guys, I think, assumed he was dead for decades.
I was like,
we were close to the truth.
When we were saying this, I was like, wait a minute. Passed away, but I was like 100% sure on this celebrity death.
Thank you for checking that.
Thank you.
It's gonna be a good insert
for that breaking news update from 5 years ago.
Thank you for that.
That was breaking news. Now back to the show.
Well, I have a question for you guys. Were you Nickelodeon kids growing up?
Yes, I was.
I was. Were you, Eddie?
I mean, I think like probably later on, like iCarly, and then
I love
Avatar
iCarly
series.
Yes.
So
not like Nicktoons 90s. This is, you're like after Nicktoons, like after Rugrats.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Was what is it? Is it Ted Declassified?
Ted's Declassified.
Was that on Nick?
Yeah, no, I don't even know what that
was. Ted's Declassified. It's so funny. You like all these shows that were for a younger audience when we were already like We were
much older,
like
yeah.
in high school at this point.
Graduated to MTV.
Or college, I think. Nickelodeon. So no, Eddie, you weren't a fan of like the early 90s Nickelodeon stuff? Like late 80s, early 90s?
No.
So like, Real Monsters.
I love All Real Monsters. Doug. Kablam, Doug.
Kablam.
Hey Arnold.
Kablam a little later, yeah, but...
No, it was like 96-ish.
I like Doug. Yeah, watch Doug.
Yeah.
So yeah, so this is very much Nickelodeon, early 90s cartoon nostalgia we got going on. Rocco's Modern Life. It was created by this guy named Joe Murray. He actually created it as a comic book, but he never got it published.
Yeah, I think it was called like Timothy.
Yeah, it was something. It was called something else.
It wasn't called. Yeah, he wasn't Rocco.
It wasn't. Like... Yeah, but you know, this is the age of Ren and Stimpy,
right?
And everyone was going batshit crazy over that. So Nickelodeon was like, we need our cartoons to be edgier. We need people of all ages to be watching our stuff. This is how we get put on the map.
Oh, that's so interesting. I had read the opposite.
Really?
So Nickelodeon started their own production studio as a result of Ren and Stimpy because they were having creative differences. The creative differences is that Nickelodeon wanted them to kind of tone it down.
Really?
Because...
Ren and Stimpy did their own thing? Or
Ren and Stimpy, yeah, because they were their own production company.
Yes, but they also saw the success of it, and they did want it to be edgier, which is why they picked up Rocko's Modern Life. Did you know that the people in Rocko's Modern Life had complete creative control?
They did, yeah, because this is right before Nickelodeon had Nickelodeon Studios. Mm-hmm. I think they were called Games Productions. So that Games Productions was like the beginnings of Nickelodeon Studio, even though... The company that Murray would have for Rocko's Modern Life was its own thing still. So it was still wholly independent, but we're about to cross over where Nickelodeon starts having full ownership. You know, they're about to go full Disney.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, full Disney.
Disney owns the labor, Disney owns the distribution.
Disney owns your ass.
Yeah, Disney owns us.
Yeah, that's a fun way to put it. But they definitely did want edgier cartoons, and that's why they had complete creative control, and that's why you get this hybrid of a weird children's show that is just like slapstick and pure laughs and then really hidden dark adult humor in it.
Yes.
He got the freedom to hire whoever, so he just like got this whole band of misfits that has later gone on to do a bunch of other things. Like the creative director for Rocko's Modern Life is this man named Steven Hillenburg, and do you know who that is?
No.
He actually went on to create a little cartoon called SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, he died, right?
I think he did. Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he died. Like, people were excited they were going to tribute him at the most recent Super Bowl.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, the tribute didn't go, like, as planned. Like, they thought they were going to do, like, a musical number from the show, but it was kind of more subtle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he did. And he went on to have a pretty much the entire creative team from almost a entire creative team from Rocko's Modern Life joined him on SpongeBob. The voice for Heifer is Tom Kenny, and that's who voices SpongeBob.
No.
The man who voices Filbert is Mr. Lawrence, and he voices so many voices on SpongeBob. You know the guy who goes, "My leg!" That's Mr. Lawrence, and he does Plankton and all these other characters.
Okay.
I
wasn't a big SpongeBob fan.
No?
No.
I was a big SpongeBob fan. I was a big Rocko and SpongeBob fan. So these two shows, you could see the impact that one had on the other.
The opposite.
That is so funny. Yeah, I was a big, I really liked Rocko growing up, and actually revisiting some of these episodes, I was like, oh my god, my youth, I remember this. So what is Rocko's Modern Life? Well, Rocko's Modern Life is about a wallaby who is timid. He's kind of lives a very mundane life.
Excuse me, sir. Could I have my frisbee back? Thank you.
He has a neighbor who is
the Bigheads.
Ed Bighead and his wife.
Mrs. Bighead
and their son, who created a TV show.
Roger Bighead,
who created a TV show that Rocko and the whole world's in love with. And then he has the two best friends, the Fatheads. Yes. Yeah. So not the Bigheads, the Fatheads.
Clearly, I recently rewatched this season.
Yes.
This is the series.
Yeah.
Oh, Ed, this mountain cabin sounds so romantic.
Just you and me, Bev. Just you and me.
So Rocco has two best friends. One is Heifer. I wrote that he's a fat, enthusiastic steer. And he's got like this obnoxious, high-pitched voice. I can't even do it, but it's like
high-pitched, but also deep.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like
I do a lot of voices for my Dungeons & Dragons team.
That's a pretty good voice. I kind of want to hear more. Can you say that is a hoot?
That is a hoop.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Good job.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness one of the seven wonders of the world. At about 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, through this window, our buddy Rocco will descend the staircase as he does every night for a glass of milk. And he ain't dressed for the occasion, if you know what I mean.
And then there's Filbert, who is his neurotic, awkward friend of a turtle. He's a turtle.
Who
you say is Jewish.
I think he's Jewish.
He wears glasses. He's very like, I can't.
Although there's another Jewish character in this show. Mr. Ooh. Bighead's boss from
Glamo. Oh, yeah. What was his name?
I don't remember his name, but he had like the red curls, which I think is another like media signifier in animation gay. Yeah. Not gay. Jewish. I'm sorry.
Then Rocco has a dog named Spunky, who's also a very prominent character. So these are kind of like the main people.
And then,
So there's Rocco, who's very timid and also very passive. He just kind of like lets things happen to him. Mm-hmm. And like life just happens in front of him until he loses his shit most of the time.
Does he?
Yeah.
I don't know. He doesn't lose his... I guess.
He just kind of goes with the flow and accepts everything that happens until, like, usually he'll reach a breaking point.
He's a very passive character.
He's very passive.
Stuff happens at him.
Yeah. Like, his friends usually, like, even though they're well-intentioned, they kind of walk all over him because of this. And then his neighbor, Mr. Bighead, can't stand him.
Yes.
Which is also something that happens in SpongeBob. The similarities are...
Yeah. Despite the fact that Mrs. Bighead wants to get on...
Oh, she loves him.
She wants to get on his D. There's, like, a whole episode where she's trying to seduce him.
Yeah, it feels very Married with Children-ish.
It's really dirty because, like, I remember the scene where... Did you watch this recently? There's a great scene where, like, she's trying to seduce him, so, like, she takes off her shirt, and you see the back of her, and you see a little bit of crack.
Really?
Yeah.
So this show, like, it goes really hard with some of its references that kids don't get, or I hope kids don't get.
I mean, the chicken place was called the Choky Chicken.
Yeah.
Which is masturbation.
Yeah. There's a lot of like devil references and Satan references.
In the first episode, they say the word hell.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize this.
Yeah, there's like an elevator to hell.
Yeah.
And then like that you can come up on. It's like really crazy. There's this one joke that I saw where there's like a field of fairies, and then like he has this succo machine. Did you watch that episode where Rocco's got this big major succo machine and he just kind of loses control of it and it goes rampant?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there's this field of really like, there's really high flowers and there's really beautiful fairies, and then the succo machine goes past it and all you see is this groundhog in his underwear with binoculars.
That's right, yeah.
Which is such a perturbing joke about pretty much like men who creep on beautiful women. Mm-hmm. And like you're watching this as a child, you're like, oh my god, but like fitting again for an adult, but then like watching it, it's like disgusting.
Mm.
But again, it's addressing reality, so I guess I could forgive it. So it's pretty incredible to watch.
What reality?
That men do that? That men spy on women in the bushes?
But that's not addressing it.
Yes, it is.
It's not addressing it. This is just like making a joke out of it.
Making a joke.
It's not like...
So you think that in terms of addressing it, it has to be like a statement either for or against it.
Right. Like making a joke out of it is just making a joke.
Well, but when you're making jokes for children, which we've covered in other podcasts, I strongly believe that you should not just think that it's just a child's joke, that they're not going to get it.
But maybe like because it's showing it's funny, and because it's funny, it's okay. It's fine.
My rules completely change, though, when they become for children.
Mm.
And because I watched this as a child and look at me, I'm fucked up. Like this did a number on me.
Oh, it's so funny you should mention. So I didn't watch this really.
Yeah.
So I was a passive watcher. Like I was never, oh my God, Rocko's Modern Life is on. I'm going to watch this. Same thing with Ren and Stimpy. Not my shows. I was more of a Doug person.
Aww.
I was more of a Rugrats.
Aww.
Real Monster was probably the one that like,
got a little
close to like Rocko's Modern Life that I enjoyed watching.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so I don't know. I guess I didn't watch this show, and I would consider myself pretty normal.
Would you consider me normal?
I think so.
Oh, that's sweet. You're a liar. I think that it's also, you know, I've grown up and I've met people who didn't watch so much television in their youth, and like they're, this is a positive thing when I say, but they're kind of like they look at life differently. So like one of my best friends was not allowed to watch TV growing up, and because of that she doesn't really get a lot of references, but at the end of the day, like, I think she's better off because of it, because like she had more time to do other things and not like just constantly, she's not consumed by media.
That's fine, I agree with you, like mm-hmm. doing other things is good, but sometimes it's hard to have a conversation with those people.
Yeah, and this, and these days that's how we relate, that's how we get to know people.
Yeah,
that's
like how we bond. You know, like there's tiers of conversation, and the first tier is weather. The next tier is usually you try jobs. To bond over TV. Oh, yeah, fine, jobs.
What do you do?
But I think next tier, like where you start making bonds is media. Like, oh, have you seen any cool movies? Have you watched any shows on Netflix? Mm-hmm. Right? Because those are all things that we all do. But what we watch says a lot about us. Yeah. So if you have someone that you have that in common with, you can start a conversation. And from that, that's how you create, like, friendships. Like, you know, then that may not be the deepest friendships, but they're friendships.
Yeah.
I'm having that, I have that problem where if it's someone who just doesn't really watch a lot of TV or movies, you know, if you're making pop reference cultural statements mm-hmm. and they don't get it, it's just like, I can't fuck with that. Like, those aren't my people. I can't. I won't.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I completely understand, and I realize that too, but like sometimes don't you think it gets a little overboard? Like, I know people who make almost every other thing out of their mouth is a reference to something.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there are people who can take it overboard, but yeah. I think having a general knowledge of pop culture, I think is healthy.
Well, you know, it's interesting though, because our relationship and our consumption with media actually plays a lot into the recent, they call it a reboot, but I think it's a revival of Rocko's. Yeah, Modern Life. They had the sign.
They did.
That had reboot in it. But still, like, that is actually a big factor of it. Mm-hmm. Because right now, in terms of 2019, 90s nostalgia is hardcore. People who grew up in the 90s, they're now actually having children. And I guess we're all just, like, having early midlife crises or something, but we're also just like, the 90s were the best, and we just want to be consumed by it.
So the point thing where happened in the 90s with the 70s.
Yes. Yeah. No, hey, it always happens.
Even, 20s.
Even more so, I feel like. Like, if you look at what some of the movies that came out this year, and the stuff that we covered was a lot of 90s stuff, and that's what's, like, making a lot of money right now. Or just, like, the fact that, like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Friends are becoming, like, these big comeback shows that, like, people refuse to, like, Friends can't be taken off Netflix without people losing their shit.
It's so funny about Friends. When I used to work at a grocery store, mm-hmm. this is, like, a few years ago at this point, but she was probably, like, 18, 19, and she was watching Friends for the first time and stuff, yeah. And I was talking to her about it. I'm like, wait, why are you watching Friends? She's like, I don't know, just something to do. We tweet about it. I'm like, we? It's like, yeah, me and my friends. Like, we like Friends, and we're very anti-Rachel. Just like, oh.
Anti-Rachel?
Yeah, they're pro. They were, this group of girls were pro-Ross in the breakup.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, like, Ross becomes batshit crazy.
I empathize with Ross. That's a whole other episode. Crazy. If they ever come out with the Friends, like, revival, mm-hmm. I can't wait to spill my guts on Friends.
Okay. We're gonna pause that whole thing, because I'm so on Rachel's side. Even if you were on a break, can't you wait a fucking hour before you put your dick in someone else? But that aside, I guess you can't. So that's good to know, Eddie. He can't wait an hour until you guys, if you ever go on a break, for him to put his
side. I'm not saying that I would do this. I'm just saying
that you would defend someone who did it. And if that happened to you, you'd be okay with it?
Good question. I wouldn't be as bitchy as Rachel was, I guess, about it.
She was incredibly entitled.
Wow. We're going to talk about Friends now. We're talking about Rocko's Modern Life.
We're talking about 90s culture and how consumed we are by media. So Rocko's Modern Life, it was one of those episodic TV shows, and I don't really remember how it ended, but apparently they got blasted off into space.
Yeah, that's so funny. I didn't know this either. I, like I said, I never watched it consistently.
Yeah.
Like, this earlier this week, I guess, was the most Rocco Modern's Left I ever watched, like, consistently.
Did you like it? Did you enjoy yourself?
Like, rewatching it now?
Yeah.
I didn't even really like it that much back then. Mm-hmm. Now, kind of, sort of. Like, I'm not, like, I don't know. I wasn't, it felt like a chore. Like, I wasn't excited for the next one. Some episodes were better than others. Like, I think one of my favorite episodes still is the episode where Heifer finds out he was adopted. Right? That's a good one.
Yeah.
Because it's a funny joke. He's adopted by wolves. Mm-hmm. And the wolves were fattening him up to eat him. But then, you know, they began to love him like a son. And it's also hilarious because you have the little wallaby there. It's just like, oh, I didn't know you were adopted. We've been friends for so long. And it's just like, oh, you, what a big faux pas.
Yeah.
So that, I think that episode still holds up.
Mm-hmm.
His binging on food, that was kind of a little whack. I guess it was supposed to be drugs or alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. But that was one of my favorite episodes. I was surprised at how many episodes when I was watching them, though. I feel like they didn't have a plot. Like, it was just anecdotes. Like, there was no necessarily beginning or end. So another example I would say is the one where Rocco's trying to get the affection of his neighbor Melba.
Yeah.
Right? That didn't really have a plot. It was more like, oh, okay, Heifer's going to get him into like all these crazy shenanigans. Mm-hmm. And nothing gets resolved at the end. So like, as I was watching this, I was just thinking, it's just like, was a lot of kids programming like this? Or is it just Rocco's Modern Life and Ren and Stimpy to an extent? Because Ren and Stimpy was very similar in that vein.
Yeah.
There weren't plots.
And this phase, too, of like kids' cartoons, it was just like a bunch of like craziness happening for like 11 minutes and then that was it. There wasn't like this thing where beginning, middle, and end, and then something to take away from it at the end.
On these kinds of shows.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of the other spectrum. Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And like these kind of edgier, kind of like purely for the kind of like gross out of it all. Because like Rocko's Modern Life is kind of gross.
Yeah.
Like the drawings and stuff. It's really crude. Like even to call it edgy is like, I think, incorrect. It's like just like downright like kind of disgusting. And that's like the point of it.
I don't know if it's disgusting, but I know what you mean. I mean, you know, the big heads and their obsession with like eating like insects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gross.
Do you remember did Philbert get married on the show?
That I don't recall.
Apparently he, and I'm talking about the revival, but he bumped. I remember this character, right? She was like a bear or a dog and she had like a hook for a hand.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember her?
There were people that popped up that I was like, I don't remember you. Like the movie, the piece begins with the superhero.
Yeah.
They were, like, really.
I do remember the superhero.
And I didn't, at first I was like, who are you? And I had to like, go back and remember.
I feel there was a similar character in Ren and Stimpy, so maybe I might be confusing him.
Oh.
There was a similar like superhero Ren and Stimpy character, and nipples were like a thing. Was this like after Joel Schumacher's Batman?
This was around the time.
Okay. I guess nipples were big.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Nipples were all the rage in the 90s. Yeah, it was actually interesting how many, like, watching the Netflix special, you know, you really had to be brushed up on your Rocco's in order to, like, at least get the little things. Even though it's only 45 minutes and it goes by relatively fast.
Mm.
But, oh, you disagree. Okay, shall we talk about it?
Let's dive right into it.
So the Netflix special is called Static Cling. Apparently, one of the last episodes of Rocco shoots Heifer, Rocco, and who is voiced by Carlos Azaraki. We never really said who Rocco is voiced by, but he's got a beautiful voice.
I love the voice. Okay.
And I'm most likely saying his last name wrong, and I apologize.
He does have a nice voice. I agree.
He has
very nice calming.
Yes. Which is why it also like resonates that he's just like this timid, passive little thing. So Rocco, Heifer, and Philbert get blasted off into space, and apparently they're there for like 20 years.
Yes, according to the plot.
Yes, and the only way that they were surviving was rewatching their tape, their VHS tape of their favorite show, The Fatheads. Mm-hmm. And then they realized that the way that they can get back was like by a remote that was in Heifer's butt, and then they come back, and it's pretty much 2019, and they're just like thrown into the 21st century. And there's this whole thing where Rocco just like cannot function and not keep up with the new phone, with like the fact that there's all these new establishments. Just O-Town has completely changed.
O-Town
is where they live.
Oh no, I know O-Town is where they live, but that's a euphemism, right? For an orgasm?
It could be.
I'm pretty sure. Like O-Town, orgasm. I'm thinking of O-Town, the band, and their song and Liquid Dreams. Like there was no subtlety in the 90s, all right?
Yeah.
Liquid Dreams, a wet dream. It could be. It was very crude.
It could be. Oh gosh. Yeah, this is getting grosser and grosser.
I know they have a song dedicated about wet dreams. It's peak 90s.
Yeah. Because like every beginning of a decade still has leftover from the other.
For sure.
Okay. So where was I though? O-Town. They live in O-Town. They go back to O-Town. And just like the way that their lives have completely changed. Heifer and Filbert assimilate pretty quickly, but Rocco does not, especially when he finds out that his favorite TV show, The Fatheads, has been off the air for many years. It doesn't even rerun.
Right, which I don't believe. Like, they're on Netflix.
Yeah.
All right. They should have made a joke about the fact that it'd be on Netflix.
True, even though there's a lot of shows that aren't, like, available anywhere. Like, it's really hard for me to watch Murder, She Wrote.
Well, that's besides the point. This is a Netflix original. Netflix should have promoted the shit out of them, especially when Disney Plus is going to come in to eat them up soon.
Okay, I guess it could have been even more on the nose because they're pretty on the nose with like awareness of like what's going on in the world and what happened to them and all this stuff. There's this moment in the beginning when they're watching the Fatheads, just sitting there with his friends on the couch, and he even turns to them and he says, "Isn't it great how some things never change?" And kind of the whole special to me is in one big message. There's a lot of little messages going on, but it's kind of about how you need to accept change. Because there's a lot of things that happen in the special that is just like, go with the times, go with the flow, embrace change, let things kind of happen.
The winds of change. I don't want to change, but the winds need to.
The winds.
That's the only
to
way
change.
To be happy.
The times they are changing.
Right, but was it criticizing our need for these remakes, reboots, and revivals? Because I will say this is a good. This was a good special to cover. I was actually surprised at how much I actually enjoyed this special.
Uh-huh. Me too.
Despite the fact that I wasn't like crazy about it. Mm-hmm. It was. I think it had a very thought-provoking. Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Which is what the original show didn't really have.
Yes, I agree with you. The original show.
So it was kind of like this weird thing where it was like happy to be back. And it was like, oh, these characters you haven't seen. But it's like, why are we back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we could have just been floating in space forever, but, like, we crashed back onto Earth just to give you this. And, like, are you happy? Are you satisfied? Like, did you need this?
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, because I feel like my one friend who watched it, and they're like, do our cartoons need to, like, come back? Like, can't they just stay in the past? And I'm like, I think that's kind of what the show is asking you. Mm-hmm. Like, the question that you're asking about it because of the fact that you didn't like it is kind of the point.
Oh, they didn't like it.
Yeah, they did not like it, which is interesting because... And then I went into it expecting not to like it, and I liked it.
I liked it maybe because it wasn't like the original show.
Yes.
And that's literally the message at the very end of this special, which is Rocco is trying to say, bring back the Fatheads, which was written by Roger Fathead. Roger Bighead. And there's another subplot there.
Yeah.
That I guess we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Okay,
course.
Good. It's important. Big, yeah.
Yeah.
And I went through some events. Roger, or I guess Regina.
Yes.
As we should call her. Uh-huh. She ends up writing new episodes. And the new episodes introduce the Fatheads to a daughter. And this daughter pisses off Rocco because while the rest of the audience embraces this new character, he doesn't. And again, it's him learning that lesson of just like, sometimes change is okay.
Yes.
Like, you just have to grow with it.
Which is also because, you know, Rolando could have been a little bit more on the nose with it, so we'll just flat out say that this character, Roger, becomes a transsexual in the show.
Yes.
And changes from Roger to Regina. And that's the Big Head's son. And Big Head's kind of like a Trump figure. You know, he's in charge of Conglamo. And then at the beginning of it, which we didn't go over, Conglamo's in trouble. And so he needs a way to make money. So he's like, yes, go find my son because he went off somewhere. And let's bring it back so I can make all this money again. He's thinking very capitalistically.
The implication was also... The implication was that Mrs. Big Head knew.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, she knew the son had transitioned and that's why they've been in touch, but not Ed hasn't been in touch with the son.
Yes. And of course, you know, when it's revealed that he no longer has a son, he has a daughter, he's not okay with it.
Right.
He's not okay with this change. And then that right there is reflected in Rocco not being okay with the fact that a daughter is introduced to it. So it's like this, it's this parallel that almost parallels our relationship. Are we okay with the fact that they did this?
I think that's a good question. I like that. All right, go on.
I like it because why not? But also, yes, this is a thing that happens nowadays all the time. So let's normalize it. That's great. That's one thing that I want children to see.
Sure.
Especially that his voice has not changed. It's still really deep.
Yeah.
But he's just got high heels now.
They did like a Tina Belcher on that one.
Yes. And it's just kind of like, if you care a little bit too much about it, it's like, honestly, like some things do change and just kind of like get over it. And these things that I think it's this big commentary about things from our youth that we hold a little too dear to our hearts. It's kind of like they need the room to kind of grow and to be its own thing without you being so overly protective of it, not wanting it to change, always being the way that it is. This is why people freak out when they do things like all-female Ghostbusters and stuff. It's like, rethink about how important this is to you.
Yes.
Let it grow from there.
Agreed. I think that was our takeaway from the Ghostbusters episode, which is just like, it's fine.
It is things fine, change. Guys.
Like, let it go.
Yeah, it's fine that a new character gets introduced that, you know, you might need to get used to, because some things, you know, life is ever-changing and new characters are always added into your life. So why can't that be reflected in your television or in your movies? Mm-hmm. And things can, you know, take a left turn and be approached differently. So I think that they were reflecting a sensibility in the viewers through Rocco.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think we should be accepting of change. But there's one change this show did that I was not here for.
What was that?
Filbert assimilated way too quickly.
Yeah,
Filbert's right character would not have been so into vlogging, so into social media, so into, you know.
But I think that the payoff at the end was actually adorable because he had like 5 devoted followers.
Oh, that's awesome.
And his followers were just his family. Yeah. So it's like, at the end of the day, sometimes actually, you know, there's people who are really insecure and kind of like don't leave their house are actually like really active on social media.
That's true. I actually know someone who, I actually stopped following her, so I don't even...
Oh my god, does she post like depressing stuff?
No, the worse, right? She would post like videos of her working out, like, and then say, hey, follow, you know, she was pretending like she had like a following. So one day I was just like, how many followers does a bitch have? Sorry. That's how I felt. Yeah. Does she have? And I went to her social media. She had like 100. I was just like, girl, you tripping. I'm following you in protest. People are delusional on social media. And you're right. I guess that's what Filbert was on this one.
Yeah, and that was also kind of something charming. It's like, why not? He has 5 people who actually really care, so like, let him do that. But I do think that overall, the people that, you know, there could have probably been more with Heifer and with Filbert. I feel like they were just kind of like there, and we didn't really get to expand with them that much.
Is there much to expand with Filbert?
I mean, just or to Heifer? Feel like we spent more time with them, yeah. But it's like also, it's a 45-minute special.
I think,
you know, they were, at least they were there.
I think the focus of the 45-minute special was actually really smart. Focusing, like, this was a thesis statement and they stuck to it.
Yeah.
And I think they nailed the landing. I'm mixing a lot of metaphors there. I apologize, guys.
But overall, I did actually enjoy it. Did you watch it at EZ?
I began to watch it.
Uh-huh.
And I gave it maybe 10 minutes.
No, not. I saw where it left off. It was like 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay. It's just not my...
Not your thing.
Not my thing for animation. It's just not... one thing.
Okay.
But it's very interesting what you guys are saying. I mean, this is one of the moments too where I get to be like kind of like our audience who just like listen to our podcast and uh-huh. like, oh my god, wait a minute, maybe I should check it out.
Yeah.
So at least maybe like just think about it, because it does you guys present a lot of interesting ideas of how meta this is too.
No, I agree with you. The episode is very not the episode, the special.
Yeah, the special.
It's very, very meta.
Yes. And I like the fact that it's a special, kind of like how back in the day Futurama had their specials and you're like, this is great. We're never going to see Futurama again. This is a perfect ending. And we got more Futurama, which wasn't horrible. I love Futurama.
Do you think we'll get more Rocco's?
No, I don't. And I don't want it, because I think that this was, at first I was like, really? Why? But then it kind of addressed my question of really why, which is nice. You know, because it's also one of these few remakes and reboots who are like, did we need this? And then if you got it, are you going to be happy with the fact that we're going to do stuff and it's going to be new and like all these different things happening?
Do you remember the characters in the original run? They were like the lizards, the artistic directors. They were in the special.
Were they?
Yeah. So they were the ones who were like helping animate the new Fatheads before they found the writer. They had like this Austrian accent, but they made like a great. So in the original show, like there was an episode where Rocco is helping them with like a video project.
Okay.
And they film him naked.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And then they make it like an experimental art house film. Yes. That goes like crazy. Okay. So these characters return on this one, and they have one of my favorite jokes. Which was they had like the worms animating for them, and they're animating using computer graphics. And Mr. Big had said, "Wait, shouldn't they be using pencils and pen?" And the lizard is just like, "No, we use computers. It's cheaper and It's like cheaper and it's devoid of emotion." And it's funny because I'm pretty sure that's how they animated this one. So this show, this special was very self-referential, and I loved it.
Yeah. That is, yeah, I like that. You know, I like when cartoons do that too. You know, The Simpsons would always do that.
Yeah.
And I like that it's like, because it's also kind of like aware. And then at the end of the day, it's like, this is what you're getting. So be aware of it too. And like have that kind of awareness with what you're watching, you know, because we have it with what we're making for you. So, and I think that's actually important, especially because there's just so much that you're getting, especially in Rocco's, with just like, every 2 seconds when they did the opening, kind of like when we went to the reboot and then they did the reopening, and then like you're watching all this stuff happening, like you almost got to like pause it and look at everything that they're doing.
Yeah,
because there's a lot going on just in that one part. And we didn't even address the best thing about Rocco's Modern Life, the theme song.
Oh, by the B-52s.
By the B-52s.
Only season two and on.
But. Yeah, the first one didn't have it, but it's such a good theme song. Like everyone knows that. Rocco's
I don't know if everybody knows
Rocco's
that.
Modern Life. Well, 90s kids know that.
I don't know.
Did you not know that?
Oh, I knew. I knew. Well, I know Rocco's Modern Life.
Did you know it, Eddie? The song? Rocco's Modern
Life. No.
Oh. Well, I knew it. And I love it. I think it's I think it's one of my favorite.
I mean, TV my favorite thing about songs. That is Spunky. It's just at the end, Spunky.
No, I thought Spunky. At the end was that was a hoot.
No, that's the very end. That's like the last. The end like, it's him chasing Spunky for like a minute.
Yeah, it's great. I love that.
It's fine. It's an okay show. Rewatching it, I was just like, it's fine.
Yeah, it was an okay show that didn't need to come back, but like they actually knowing that they made a really good, strong special.
Yeah, I will say it had jokes that landed. I watching the special, it was only 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
Like 45, 46. Yeah. It felt longer for me. I'm not a fan. But I think where some of the jokes landed the best, they were good.
Yeah,
and they were. I think as an overall thing, concept was interesting enough that while I wasn't necessarily into it, it did pique my interest. And I really hope as we move forward and like these properties keep getting revived, and we know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Disney is listening, and they know. They know we want Lizzie McGuire. They know we want Even Stevens, Cruella De Vil.
Wizards of Waverly Place.
Of Waverly. These are our own requests.
Yeah.
They're already in the process of making some of these, but you know, but I really hope that maybe some of these properties will have a little bit of that awareness of what the audience, not necessarily what they want, but what they should get and why they should get it.
So
does that make sense?
That does make sense. And I'm going to bounce off of that and I'm going to start answering the question, did we need this? And I kind of think that we, in theory, we didn't, but in delivery, we did.
Okay.
Because I think that a cartoon like this, a non-Disney kind of made for both kids and adults, but more geared to like specifically adults now, is needed because it's the only way that we can get those commentaries and those questions within the piece itself. Mm-hmm. People don't like it when the fourth wall is broken in movies, but you do it in a cartoon all the time and people love it. Because of that, you know, we get cartoons sometimes being more real and direct with us, which is nice because, like, you know, a Disney movie, at the end of the day, they're not going to do that.
Oh, no. Yeah.
They're not going to be self-aware. Oh, that's not
true. Wreck-It Ralph kind of does that.
It depends. It also depends on, like, you know.
Yeah, I think Wreck-It Ralph might be the one of the exceptions to that rule. But also probably because Wreck-It Ralph itself isn't, like, a wholly Disney property. Mm. If that makes sense. Like, it's not pure Disney.
That's true. That does make sense. Yeah.
It has that ability to make commentary on us as consumers. Because that's another thing this special did. It really hammered the fact of how materialistic and mm-hmm. what a consumer society we've just become. Mm-hmm. Like the iPhone joke. Like, it's not an original joke, but it was a good joke.
But it's a joke that we all recognize pretty much. We get it. Like, we've almost seen it too many times on our iPhones. But that's the thing. I think that an outlet like a cartoon show from our youth that also, like, speaks to adults and kids is the only way we can get something that's self-referential and kind of, like, hitting these chords that we kind of needed to. Asking these questions and being like, hey, guys, change is good. Don't get so obsessed with things from your youth. Stuff like that.
No, I agree. I wonder if... So I know I was just complaining how I feel like we feel like Disney isn't going to do that. However, I think maybe one of the opportunities they might have is actually with Lizzie McGuire. And no, hear me out. Because it's not going to be like Girl Meets World where it's like using Lizzie McGuire for a show for new kids. Yeah. This is going to be like for actual like people our age who grew up with Lizzie McGuire. Mm-hmm. So I think that gives them the opportunity to do a little more meta messaging here. Okay. I think they can. I guess that'll be the test for Disney. But
that really will. Yeah.
And I think this is interesting, right? Because I guess to answer your question of like, did we need this? Mm-hmm. I would have agreed with you. I don't think we needed it. But when we see the execution, I'm okay. I like it. Well, kind of, sort of. It's not my favorite thing, but like, I like the message that came from the very end. And I think it's the bar that I might hold these revivals to. Mm. Like, can you deliver something that we enjoy?
Yeah.
While at the same time giving me something new.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's basically what this message was.
That's true. You know, it did something really interesting where even though it was new, it was still very much the same show. It just was a little bit more aware. You know, and I think it's easier because it's a cartoon. I think that something like maybe Lizzie McGuire with live action, you know, like an aged human being, might not be as easy.
Maybe.
Also, like, who is that going to be made for? Because Rocco is very much made for old 90s kids who are now older. And this old 90s show was also kind of made for more mature people who are into edgier stuff. So it was like, it's very much made for adults, even though kids could technically.
Yeah, ratings wise, adults actually made up, I think, 20% of the ratings for Rocco's Modern Life.
For Static Cling?
Oh, no, the original run. 20%. Yeah, wow, yeah. 20%. Yeah. One fifth. Yeah.
That's a lot.
So that's
that is interesting. Right?
And keep in mind, like, when, you know, these Nickelodeon shows were coming out, it's not like only the rich could still afford cable, right? Like, it wasn't like you're fresh out of college and you're paying for cable. Maybe the yuppies, but majority of America at this point still, you know, it was still basic access television that we were watching. So, you know, I think it was a big risk for Nickelodeon to take a chance on a show like this.
It was.
Because, you know, their target audience is children.
Yeah.
And to do something that's a little more risque and a little bit more for adult, it's it was a risk.
Yeah.
Interesting. Netflix doesn't have that risk because they, you know, I don't even think, I mean, you keep saying that it's for, I'm assuming, I agree with you. It is for, like, our generation.
Yeah.
It's not for new people who are interested in the show because I don't think, they don't do a good job of establishing Rocco as a new character, right? Like, it's just like, you need to know who he was to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Which actually could be, Eddie, why necessarily you just saw 4 or 5 minutes of it and gave up because you yourself admitted you never really watched the show.
Yeah, I agree.
Should we do a lightning round?
How?
I guess you're right. I guess we can't do a lightning round.
The only reason we're not doing his lightning round is who we're going to compare, Rocco to Rocco?
Rocco to Rock. Yeah,
I
guess you're right. Regina
to Roger. Spunky. I like Regina. I could have used more spunky. I will say that.
Oh, that's true. They really didn't use Spunky here.
Yeah.
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 Spunky doesn't do anything. He's like my dog. He's just there.
Bobby's not just there.
That is so terrible.
He's just there. No, I love him.
Him being there can make everything just better. Mm-hmm. That's what dogs do.
Yes.
Yes. See? All right. Cools. Cool. Right? That's it?
I mean, I think that's it. It's interesting that Netflix released two Nickelodeon properties in 1 month.
Yeah, Invader Zim was the
Invader
other one.
Invader Zim is the other one. Which so we maybe we should ask the audience if they want us to do Invader Zim.
Oh, right. Yeah, I guess you can tell us if you want.
Yeah, let us know. let us know. Were you a big Rocko's Modern Life watcher? And I don't know. Who do you agree with more, Nicole or me, in terms of how the original show was interpreted? Right? And where can they leave us their opinions?
They can email us at remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. You guys can Instagram us. We're at remakesrebootsrevivals. And if you must, you can Facebook us. We're more active on our email and Instagram, but Facebook, facebook.com/remakesrebootsandrevivals.
Thank you, Nicole. You're yes. Welcome. And as always, guys, please leave us a rating on your app.
Yes.
So that way we know what you guys are enjoying and what you guys are not. And
yeah,
like I said, I really do want to hear from you. Let us know if you want us to do Invader Zim.
Yeah.
I mean, Nicole's giving me a face like, how dare you let you the audience decide this? Yeah. But I feel like Invader Zim is... I never watched it, right? So this would be like a whole new experience for me from beginning to end.
Me too.
Yeah, so that, I think that's exciting.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, like, there is... a cult following for Invader Zim.
There is.
Emos, usually. So were you an emo growing up? Let us know. And let us know if you want us to do it. You punish us. Let us know if you just want us to listen to it to torture us. All right. So is that it, I think
that's it.
I think that's it. That's all we wrote on Modern...
Rocco's Modern Life. That was... Rocco's Modern Life. Rocco's Modern Life. And that's how we are going to exit out of this episode, guys. That was a hoot.
That was a hoot.
All right, well, until next time.
Stay unoriginal.